Lecture topic, lessons from Ramadan, part 2.
A Nabi is not unmindful of Allah in the midst of prosperity and in the heart of tragedy also. He is conscious of Allah at every moment. He is conscious of Allah at every moment. You look at the condition of Sayyidina Sulaiman, the whole throne of that woman was brought, such an honor that no human enjoyed, and that's the dua he made. Rabbi habli mulka la yanbaghi li ahadin min ba'di. Allah, you give me a kingdom that the thought of this mustn't cross the heart of any human. Nabi alayhi salam says in the riwayat of Bukhari, I was performing namaz in Masjid al-Nabawi, one jinnat started interfering with me. Fa'aradtu an arbitahu ila sariyatin min siwaril masjid. I had access to that jinn, I wanted to tie that jinn to one of the pillars, and the children would have come and mocked at that jinn. Fadhakartu da'wata akhi Sulaiman. But then I recalled the dua of my brother Sulaiman. And he asked Allah for a kingdom in which no other man must have any interference. In respect to the dua of my brother Sulaiman, that Allah gave him kingdom over the jinnat, I released this jinn because it was part of the army of Sulaiman, otherwise I would have tied him to the pillar. That was the kingdom Allah Ta'ala gave him. When the entire throne is brought, you know, in moments of ecstasy and joy, what happens to a person? A person loses himself. Today Allah forgive, never mind moments of joy we do disobey Allah, even on moments of sadness, in consoling one another we trespass the limits of hijab. We go beyond the limits of hijab. Now it's a sad occasion, we're going to console, but again the limits of hijab have to be exercised. The beautiful incident of that woman who comes out veiled and she loses her son. She inquires, has my son been martyred? It comes in the authentic ahadith. And he says, yes, your son has been martyred. One sahabi said, oh sister, you're going through such a tragedy, such a catastrophe. Why are you maintaining such stringent laws of veiling yourself and screening? She says, my brother, I lost my son. I don't need to lose my modesty. I don't need to lose my modesty. I've lost my son. I don't need to lose my modesty now. So consciousness of Allah at every given moment in the midst of tragedy. Whatever halat came upon them, but they were totally conscious of Allah Ta'ala. And that is what Sulaiman alayhi salatu was salam said. What was the incident you mentioned? Ayyub alayhi salatu was salam. Khair, speaking about the wife of Ayyub alayhi salatu was salam. Ayyub alayhi salatu was salam told his wife that is the statement of shaitan. Now when a man is desperate for cure, he'll do anything. He'll do anything. But in he's suffering and he's saying that is the statement of shaitan. I will never take cure from him. And if Allah makes the day that I recover, I will lash you 100 times. In that fit of anger, he said this, yeah. Because of the statement she made. Few years later passed, some people made the statement. Now this is also very important. Someone made a statement and they said, Ayyub did something wrong, that is why he's suffering. Some of his very close friends, they said, Ayyub alayhi salam is suffering because he did something wrong. As Muslims, we never become judgmental on the halat of any person. Never become judgmental on what happens. Nabi alayhi salam said, La tudhiri shamatata li akhik. You know, like in English, the saying is very beautifully, it caught my eye. They say, I like those people who openly hate me, but I hate those people who pretend to love me. I love those people who openly hate me, but I hate those people who pretend to love me. That is never the quality of a Muslim. In fact, this quality was found in the Arabs even before the advent of Islam, never to rejoice over the tragedies of someone else. Today in the commercial circle, in social circle, the tragedy of one's rival is considered victory for oneself. His shop burnt out, as if there is a sense of achievement, and as if I have been triumphant. Some greatness and some joy has come to me on the tragedy of someone else. So when Ayyub alayhi salam heard this, he made dua to Allah and he cried. But after the sabr that he made, he said, Ya Allah, I was making sabr and I was happy. But if these are the comments of your creation that I am suffering because I have sinned, Allah, then you make a decision of my cure. Rabbi anni massani yadhurru wa anta arhamur rahimin. His wife was gone. Allah Ta'ala orders him. The Quran says, Urkud bi rijlika hadha mughtasalun baridun wa sharab. Strike your heel on the ground. Water gushes out. Allah says, make ghusl in that. Drink the water. Immediately Allah restores his youth to him. Wa albasahu Allahu hullatan min al-jannah. Allah sends down a garment of Jannat. Abdullah ibn Abbas's riwayat. he puts on that garment, young, handsome, attractive in the prime of his life. His wife returns, looks for her husband, she cannot find her husband. She comes, she says, sorry brother, you know my elderly sick husband was here. Do you know where he is? So he says, oh my wife, I am the same person. Imagine you come home and your wife is 20 years younger. Or the wife finds the husband, come home and suddenly, as like the first day, without any plastic surgery. Subhanallah, the wife, he divulges the reality of what had happened. That this is how Allah has cured me. They embrace one another. There is a sense of joy and muhabbat. Immediately he recalls that I had promised to lash my wife 100 times the day Allah gives me shifa and I recover. Allah makes divine intervention in this matter in acknowledgement to the loyalty of his wife. Allah comes about with concession in this matter. The Quran speaks about it. وَخُذْ بِيَدِكَ ضِغْثًا فَضْرِبْ بِهِ وَلَا تَحْنَثْ إِنَّا وَجَدْنَاهُ صَابِرًا نِعْمَ الْعَبْدُ إِنَّهُ أَوَّابٌ. O Ayyub, do not break your qasam and nor hurt your wife. You promise to lash her 100 times, you take one strand of stick which has 100 spikes on it and you touch her once and you've lashed her 100 times. And don't break your qasam. Ibn Kathir says, وَهَذَا مِنَ الْفَرَجِ وَالْمَخْرَجِ لِمَنِ اتَّقَ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَلَا سِيَّمَا فِي إِمْرَأَتِهِ الصَّابِرَةِ الْبَارَةِ الرَّاشِدَةِ. This divine intervention and concession Allah makes for those that obey Allah. In particular, the wife of Ayyub, who was a pillar of support, who obeyed Allah and supported her husband through both the era of prosperity and difficulty. In the quotation in Ruhul Ma'ani under this verse, وَنَبْلُوكُمْ بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَةِ, where Allah says, I will test you with both difficulty and adversity. At prosperity and adversity. The challenges will come. Some with health, wealth, some with sickness and difficulty. In Ruh al-Ma'ani, it is written, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu used to say, Bulina bil-dharra fa sabarna, wa bulina bil-sarra falam nasbir. Allah tested us with difficulty. I can safely say we survived the test of difficulty. Then came the test of Allah with health, wealth and affluence. Sayyidina Umar says, we could not survive the test of Allah that came with prosperity. When the wealth poured into Medina Munawwara, Sayyidina Umar started crying. Abdul Rahman ibn Awf says, rejoice, this is the day of joy. He said, Inna hadha al-mal lam yu'tihi Allahu qawman illa alqa Allahu baynahum al-adawata wal-baghda. Study the history of affluence. Whenever it came into a nation, it divided them. Study the history of affluence. Whenever it came into a nation, it divided them. So my respected sisters, Mawlana Sayyid Ahmed Khan Sahib Muhajir al-Madani rahimahumullah used to say, today the ummah is making istighfar, the ummah is not making tawbah. Istighfar is Allah forgive me for what I did, tawbah is Allah I pledge never to do it again. Today the ummah is making istighfar, the ummah is not making tawbah. Not sincerely repenting, never to revert back to those practices. This great month of Ramadan that Allah has favored us upon. Let us embrace this month with the correct zeal. This great markaz that Allah has favored us with here. Hasan Basri rahmatullah alayhi says, I have seen such people that they feared Allah more after obeying Him than you fear Allah after disobeying Him. That means after you did not get up for Fajr, you did not have so much regret as much as that man had after performing Fajr, was his namaz accepted or not. And then it is written in the Hashiyah of Tafsir Uthmani, Al-Mu'minu Jama'a المنافق جمع إساءة وأمنا والمؤمن جمع شفقة. A believer has fear, obedience and fear. And a munafiq has disobedience and complacency. The sign of a munafiq is he disobeys Allah and yet complacent. The sign of a true believer is he obeys Allah yet he is afraid. In Musnad al-Hakim there is one riwayat, Nabi alayhi salam was sitting with his sahaba, one man came, he held his hand and he said, Wa dhunuba, wa dhu, ya Allah, what guna I have done in my life, what guna. We will hold our hands and say, tension, depression, crime, wealth, depreciation of the rent, children. He held in, what an inner pain. Nabi alayhi salam said, stand up. He stood up. Nabi alayhi salam said, say after me, Allahumma maghfiratuka awsa'u min dhunubi. Oh Allah, your forgiveness is more vast than my sins. Wa rahmatuka arja indi min amali. And my hopes are more on your mercy than my noble deeds. Nabi alayhi salam said, say it again. He said it again. Nabi alayhi salam said, say it again. He said it again. Nabi alayhi salam said, I assure you that your sins have been forgiven. So with that inner regret, let us cry to Allah. Let us make dua. We don't know which action of ours, we don't know which action in this blessed month of Ramadan In Tirmidhi, there is a riwayat, one sahabi's janaza was brought. So, someone said, oh, Nabi Allah, don't make this man's janaza. This man is an evil man. This man is an evil man. Nabi alayhi salam said, Hal ra'ahu ahadun minkum ala amalim min a'malil khair? Did anyone of you see this man doing one good action at any time in his life? One sahabi said, yes, harasa laylatan fi sabilillah. I have, look at this man, if I recall, this is the same man, he joined us in one battle and he was protecting our belongings in the night. Nabi alayhi salam says, you promise me that? He says, I promise you. Nabi salam then lowered him in the cover and said, Rufaqa'uka yadhunnuna annaka min ahli an-nar wa ana ashhadu annaka min ahli al-jannah. Your companions have the opinion that you go to Jahannam, but I testify Jannat is awaiting you. So really, my sisters, Allah has given us that woman, that Abyssinian woman who used to sweep Masjid an-Nabawi. When she passed away, Sahaba trivialized her situation and they felt it not comfortable to disturb Nabi alayhi salam. She was a woman of Abyssinian origin and she used to clean the masjid of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam and she passed away. And then Nabi alayhi salam said, I no more see this woman anymore. Riwayat suggests it was a woman or a young boy. So Sahaba said, oh Nabi Allah, she passed away the other night. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, you didn't tell me? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, take me, dulluni ala qabriha. Show me where is her qabr. I want to go make janaza by her qabr. Nabi alayhi salam then said, you know, these graves are full of darkness and Allah brightens it with my salat. Nabi alayhi salam then went to the grave of that woman and stood by the grave of that woman and he made janaza namaz at that grave. So my sisters, that is honor for us. That is respect for us. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, ittaqillah takun a'badan nas, fear Allah and you have worshipped him the most. Washkur, and be grateful to Allah and you are takun aghnan nas, you will be the wealthiest person. If you are grateful to Allah, you are the wealthiest person. Allah will give you divine contentment. The Sahaba in the midst of the battle of Uhud. Imagine, today we have little extra payments, little tension, the whole social circle is in shambles, the family life is upside down. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud says, we were in the battle, the enemy was in front of us, the sword was in my hand and I was falling off to sleep. ثُمَّ أَنزَلَ عَلَيْكُم مِّن بَعْدِ الْغَمِّ أَمَنَةً نُعَاسًا. In the midst of the battle, he says, my sword was in my hand and I was falling off to sleep. And at the same time, the munafiq were also with us, but Allah deprived them of sleep because their agendas were evil. Allah put sleep on the Muslims. And then he used to say, النُعَاسُ فِي الصَّلَاةِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ وَالنُعَاسُ فِي الْقِتَالِ مِنَ اللَّهِ. Sleep in salah is from shaitan. Sleep in battle is from Allah. We got the one in salah, Allah forgive us. Divinely, how Allah gave them. In the battle, Allah gave them rahat. Allah gave them itminan. Allah gave them joy divinely. So let us repent to Allah. Let us make sincere istighfar. رَجُلٌ ذَكَّرَ اللَّهَ خَالِيًا التَّوْبَةُ مِنَ الذَّنْبِ كَشُرْبِ الدَّوَاءِ لِلْعَلِيلِ وَرُبَّ عِلَّةٍ كَانَتْ سَبَبُ الصِّحَّةِ. Many a times a person's sickness ultimately leads to his cure. Let's make this point the turning point in our life. Let us cry to Allah at this masjid, this markaz that Allah has given us here. Again, it is the encouragement of the woman. When there was zeal from the woman, when there was encouragement, let me complete that hadith in the beginning, the fourth woman that I spoke about, the fifth woman. Marana is waiting here also for that hadith. The fifth woman that we were speaking about, رَأْسُهَا رَأْسُ خِنْزِير بَدَنُهَا بَدَنُ حِمَار. The woman who was disfigured, Allah had changed her appearance. Nabi alayhi salam said, فَإِنَّهَا كَانَتْ نَمَّامَةٌ كَذَّابَةٌ. This woman had an evil habit of carrying tales. Carrying tales. Now today, how many times we see that unfortunately, because of carrying tales, it causes so much problems. Let us learn to broaden our bosom, broaden our chest. Husband comes home, let us receive him with the correct spirit. Let's not carry tales. This is what your sister said, this is what your mother said, this is what your aunt said, or the mother-in-law telling the father, this is what your daughter-in-law said, this is what your son said. Father comes in, husband comes in neutral, but because tales are carried and it is unconfirmed, it causes so much. Nabi alayhi salam said, this woman was namama. She used to only carry tales. Nabi alayhi salam passed the graves of two sahaba. He said, these two are being punished. They not been punished for a crime that is very severe. Nay, it is severe, but it wasn't considered severe. أَمَّا أَحَدُهُمَا فَكَانَ يَمْشِي بِالنَّمِيمَةِ. This man in this grave used to always carry tales. And this man was very negligent with regards to the urine drops. That is why they both are suffering in their graves. And the last person who suffers, the woman who was given the form of a dog and were various forms of adab, فَإِنَّهَا كَانَتْ مَنَّانَةٌ حَسَّادَ. This woman had the evil habit of constantly reminding her husband of her favors. I have done this for you. I have committed so much. I have contributed so much. I have prepared so much. I have sacrificed so much. I have made so much sabr. Mannana. Always speaking. Nabi alayhi salam says that three people Allah don't want. Al-Mannan. The one who destroys his good by reminders of his generosity. Mannanak and Hassada, she was a very jealous woman. She had a lot of jealousy in her heart. Because of her jealousy, she was deprived. Imagine, the hearts of the Sahabiyat were so clean for one another, that Aisha radiallahu anha, Umar radiallahu anhu sends a note to her. Today a woman can't part with petty things, can't give up a recipe. I'll cook it and send it to you. It's alright. The recipe, no, it's alright, I'll bake. When I bake, I'll send. The pride must remain that only I know how to cook this. Only I know how to bake this here. The attribution must come to me, the recognition must come to me. And when we look into the annals of Islamic history, we have the likes of Aisha, that Amirul Mu'mineen tells his son Abdullah, that go to Aisha radiallahu anha and tell her, don't say Amirul Mu'mineen, say Umar ibn Khattab is in the throes of death. He's asking permission to be buried next to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When the letter comes, Aisha radiallahu anha cries and she says, indeed, it was my desire to be buried next to my father and next to my husband. But Umar is that individual for whom all privileges can be given. Marhaban bi Amiril Mu'mineen. Aisha was that woman who could secure sleeping next to Nabi alayhi salam. Today's woman can't part with trivial things. How clean her heart was. How clean her heart was. Absolutely nothing in her heart. No hasad, no jealousy. Nabi alayhi salam held Anas. In istata'ata an tumsi wa tusbih wa laysa fi qalbika ghishun li ahadim min al muslimina faf'al. Unless if you can see in the morning and the evening your heart doesn't harbor ill feelings about anyone, then make sure you do that. If you've done this, you love me, you're with me in Jannat. Direct formula for Jannat. And Aisha radiallahu anha says, the modesty was such that before Sayyidina Umar was buried, I used to enter there and for 13 years I slept next to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. I used to still sleep in that same room next to his qabr. After my father passed away, I still used to sleep. Of course, Abu Bakr passed away within 2 years after the death of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I used to stay there. From the time of Nabi alayhi salam right up till Umar. After Umar radiallahu anhu passed away, I never entered there without a scarf and I never slept there because he was a strange person. He was a ghair mahram. Before that I used to enter casually without a scarf. But after Umar radiallahu anhu's body was lowered there, Amirul Mu'mineen Umar radiallahu anhu was lowered there. After that, I never slept there and I never entered without a scarf. So Allah Pak has given us this time. Let us value this month of Ramadan that Allah has given. Let us repent to Allah. Let us encourage our husbands to come out in the path of Allah. Allah has given great talent to one and all. Hazrat Mu'adh, look at the contribution of family. Amr ibn Jamuh radiallahu anhu's incident we hear repeatedly. His wife exhorted him to strive and earn martyrdom. And his son was responsible for him to accept Islam. His son, Mu'adh ibn Amr, accepted Islam. And he's seen his father. When there is deen in one, look at the jazbah of the son. The son came, he sees his father is worshipping the idol. He looked at this, he says, no man, I need to do something. My father needs to stop doing this here. What hikmat, one day he took the idol and he dropped it somewhere far. The father got up in the morning searching for his idol. He found his idol in some dump yard. Picked up the idol, he said, who did this to my God? He washed it, he put some scent on it. He, you know, cleansed it and he brought it back and he worshipped it again. The next day, the son again, the tamanna in his heart, that, Ya Allah, make my father understand the reality of this here. He took that idol, he tied it to the leg of a dog, a dead dog, and he dropped it in a well. To show the feebleness of this idol. The next day when the father got up in Ibn Kathir, the riwayat comes, he started searching. And then he found this idol, this deity of his lying in the well. He said, Wallahi law kunta ilahan, lam takun anta wa kalbun wasta bi'rin fi qaran. أُفِّلْ لَمِلْقَاكَ إِلَهًا مُسْتَدًا الْآنَ فَتَّشْنَاكَ عَنْ سُوءِ الْغَبَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الْعَلِيِّ ذِي الْمِنَنِ الْوَاهِبِ الرَّزَّاقِ دَيَّانِ الدِّينِ هُوَ الَّذِي أَنْقَذَنِي مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ أَكُونَ فِي ظُلْمَةِ قَبْرٍ مُرْتَهَنٍ بِأَحْمَدَ الْمَهْدِيِّ النَّبِيِّ الْمُؤْتَمَنِ أَتُوبُ إِلَى اللَّهِ مِمَّا مَضَى وَأَسْتَنْقِذُ اللَّهَ مِنْ نَارِهِ وَأُثْنِي عَلَيْهِ بِنِعْمَائِهِ إِلَهَ الْحَرَامِ وَأَسْطَارِهِ فسبحانه عدد الخاطئين وقطر السماء ومدراره. What beautiful couplets. He said, I swear by Allah, you are not the true deity. You wouldn't have been in such a feeble, disgraced condition, lowing deep down in that well. All praise belongs to Allah who gave me hidayat and made my eyes open before I was lowered into the darkness of the grave. All praise belongs to Allah who gave me that hidayat at a stage that I could repent, I could return, I could make tawbah to Allah. While Allah has given us this health, we see the condition when Aisha radiallahu anha's brother Abu Abdurrahman passed away. He wasn't present at that time. He passed away near Makkah at a place called Hubsha. She was in Medina. Then later when she went for Hajj, on the way she said, let me stop at the grave of my brother. The riwayat comes in Tirmizi Sharif. She said, let me stop at the grave of my brother and pay the respects at my brother. When she stood by the grave of her brother, and then she sang few couplets and she said, وَكُنَّا كَنَدْمَانَي جَزِيمَةَ حِقْبَةً مِنَ الدَّهْرِ حَتَّى قِيلَ لَنْ يَتَصَدَّعَا. Myself and my brother, we were like the two ministers of the king Jazima, who were inseparable. That people would say they would never separate. فَلَمَّا تَفَرَّقْنَا كَأَنِّي وَمَالِكَ لِتُولِ اجْتِمَاعٍ لَمْ نَبِتْ لَيْلَةً مَعَا. But after his death, life had to continue for me. Now it seems to me as if we never met in this world. So this is the reality of life, oh my sisters. We have to move on. Our vision has to be akhirat. Our goal has to be akhirat. Tarbiyat into our children for deen. Make them responsible. Look at the examples of sahaba. What maturity, what responsibility, what integrity that a man can leave. Tell his son, I will be martyred. Adequate arrangements are made by his wife. Adequate arrangements are made by his children. Understanding the mansha of deen. And really when that will become our goal, when that will become our aim, then it will also bring prosperity in our marriages. It will bring happiness in our lives. We'll see happiness on the pattern of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I end with one incident. The incident of Abu Talha. Abu Talha Ansari. What a unique incident. What a woman Allah had favored. What integrity this woman had. She was one day out. Abu Talha was with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she was expecting. And it was close to her pregnancy and Nabi alayhi sallam was going out. So Abu Talha said, oh Nabi, oh Allah, you know I love coming out with your Nabi when he comes out and I love returning with him. Now my wife is in the final stage of her pregnancy. Allah, you make a decision. The wife seen the aspiration of the husband. She says, okay, you go and I'm also joining you. And then she joins Nabi alayhi salatu was salam. And after they return in, she feels the labor pain. She goes into labor. She tells him that, oh, Abu Talha, you know what? I'm experiencing labor pain. Again, he makes dua to Allah. He says, ya Allah, I can't stop my wife, but now I don't want to be disappointed also, oh Allah. So somehow, the will of Allah Ta'ala, she says, okay, idhab, la ajid alladhi kuntu ajid. Okay, carry on. I think the pains have subsided. The pains have subsided. When Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was returning from Madian with his wife, the daughter of Shuayb alayhi salatu wasalam, in Tafsir Uthmani, it is written, she was just not pregnant, she was in the final stages of her pregnancy and she had to make this journey. Returning with Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and then he goes and Nabuwat takes place, but this was the critical condition of the daughter of Shuayb alayhi salam, the wife of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Anyway, Abu Talha Ansari comes, Allah Ta'ala blesses them with a child. This child was very sick at home. And it was taking a toll on the husband and wife. Look at the halat that is coming, but how they reacted to situations. The child was sick, the husband goes out. In the interim, when the husband is out, the wife is nursing the child passes away. The wife was such a woman of such bravery, such integrity, she says, I have given ghusl and kafan to my child. La tuhadithu Aba Talha hatta akuna ana. When my husband comes, nobody tell him what has happened. It's my son, it's his son. The difficulty is between us. I will break the news at the right time. Nobody must break this news to my husband. The husband returns, Abu Talha Ansari. He tells his wife, how's the little one? Now again, subhanallah, they didn't go for psychology and didn't go for this therapy. But what intellect Allah gave them, the woman of that time. How they used their talent for Allah's deen. In what a unique way. She used ambiguity in speech. She said, "Huwa askanu mimma kan." He is more peaceful than what he was. What she said? He is more peaceful than what he was. The husband interpreted it positively, peaceful, inshallah, he's better. You can imagine how tired a man comes home. And she kept him one side, wrapped up. Mothers can understand this here. What an emotional feeling. A child cries little and a mother can't sleep. She cannot cook. It's human. Allah has blessed us with that muhabbat and that love. But imagine this woman here. Her child's janazah is lying in the house. Her child's janazah. She prepares the platter of food. قَدَّمَتْ إِلَيْهِ الْعَشَىٰ. The husband comes, he eats. After that, she adorns herself. The riwayat of Bukhari, she decorates herself. And naturally, the husband tired. He ate. In his human reaction, he comes close. He has relation. He shares the bed with his wife. All in the midst of this year. Can you imagine the contradicting emotions in the heart of this woman? Can you imagine the maturity of this woman, the vision, the foresight of this woman? She is swallowing blood in her heart with the janazah of her son, and there's a smile on her face about her to welcome her husband. And subhanallah, what was the qualities of Nabi alayhi salam? When you read the sifat of Nabi alayhi salam, you see, we have to understand the mansha of the hadith. One side, the sahaba say Nabi alayhi salam was mutawasilul ahzan. He had perpetual grief. And on the other side, we learn that whenever we seen him, he was smiling. Whenever we seen him, he was smiling. Nabi alayhi salam was grief was in his heart, but on his face there was a broad smile. So grief by the heart and smile on the face. That is the expression, and that is the grief that Nabi alayhi salam had. That smile, Nabi alayhi salam said, it is, don't underestimate an act of nobility, even if it means greeting your brother. Antalqa akhaka biwajhin taliq, with a bright, cheerful face, is also an act of nobility. Anyway, after they consummate and they have relation, subhanallah, this woman asks her husband, "Oh my husband, can I talk to you for a minute?" She says, "What is it now in the dead of night?" أَرَأَيْتَ لَوْ أَنَّ قَوْمًا أَعَارُوا عَارِيَتَهُمْ. Tell me, my beloved, if someone borrowed you something for 1 month, and after 1 month the owner came to ask his article back, can you refuse? Can you delay? Can you decline? He says, "No, oh my wife, I cannot do that." But what are the connotations? What are you getting to? She bursts out and she says, "فَاحْتَسِبْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ." Hope for reward. That child was an amanat. Allah has asked him back. Allah has asked him back. When Nabi alayhi salam wrote a letter, when Mu'adh radiallahu anhu's son passed away, you must read that letter of condolence. Nabi alayhi salam took out time. We speak about ikramul muslimin. How much ikram is there in our lives? Nabi alayhi salam sent Mu'adh radiallahu anhu to Yemen. Mu'adh radiallahu anhu loses his son in Yemen. Nabi alayhi salam told him, "You will not meet me, nor will I meet you." In the interim, he loses his son. Nabi alayhi salam prepares a letter of condolence which appears in the books of hadith and sends it to Muaz. "Send this letter. Amma ba'd. Salamun ala man ittaba al-huda. Fa inni ahmadullah alladhi la ilaha illa hu. I praise Allah. Furthermore, O Muaz, listen. Wa alhamaka sabra. May Allah grant you great reward. And may Allah inspire you with patience. وَرَزَقَنَا وَإِيَّاكَ الشُّكْرَ ثُمَّ عَلَمْ. Then listen, O Mu'az. إِنَّ أَمْوَالَنَا وَأَهْلَنَا وَأَوْلَادَنَا مِنْ مَوَاهِبِ اللَّهِ الْهَنِيَّةِ وَعَوَارِيهِ الْمُسْتَوْدِعَةِ يُمَتِّعُنَا بِهَا إِلَى أَجَلٍ مَعْدُودٍ وَيَقْبِضُهَا لِوَقْتٍ مَعْلُومٍ ثُمَّ فَرَضَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا الشُّكْرَ إِذَا أَعْطَى وَالصَّبْرَ إِذَا ابْتَلَى وَكَانَ ابْنُكَ مِنْ مَوَاهِبِ اللَّهِ الْهَنِيَّةِ مَتَّعَكَ اللَّهُ بِهِ فِي غِبْتَةٍ وَسُرُورٍ وقبضه بأجر كبير إن صبرت واحتسبت وعلم أن الجزع لا يرد ميتا ولا يطرد حزنا. Nabi alayhi salam said, "Remember, O Muaz, our health, our wealth are tests from Allah. Allah allows us to benefit from it for a period of time. Allah has ordained gratitude when He favors and patience when He tests. Your son was from amongst the gift of Allah. Allah allowed you to benefit for a period of time, and Allah has taken him on the appointed time. Remember, what Allah has taken belongs to Him, and what Allah has given you also equally belongs to Allah. Remember, moaning and groaning will not return the disease, nor put an end to grief, nor put an end from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." That was the letter of condolence that the Nabi of Allah had sent to Hazrat Mu'az radiallahu anhu. And in Yemen, if you, in Amman, in Urdun, if you go to the grave of Hazrat Mu'az radiallahu anhu, you will find father and son are buried together. Father and son are buried, alhamdulillah, we went there, a lot of jamaats have been there, father and son are buried together on one place. When Abu Talha hears about this, he tells his wife, "My wife, you leave me to drown in my lust, in my weakness, and my son's janazah is lying in the house." She pacifies, she says, "Go to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, go to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, take the matter to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam." The matter was taken to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam calms him, consoles him, "Inna lillahi ma akhad, walahu ma a'ta, wa kullun indahu bi ajalim musamma." Mullah Ibrahim Devla Damat Barakatu mentioned so beautiful, subhanallah, what words of wisdom, that when Nabi alayhi salam lost his son Ibrahim, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Allah has arranged for him a nurse in Jannah that will suckle him." And then Nabi alayhi salatu was salam cried, and what did Mullah Ibrahim say? Damat Barakatu, he said, "Subhanallah, huquq bi batlaya, hudud bi batlaya." Nabi alayhi salam showed us the rights, also showed us the limits. Abdurrahman ibn Auf said, "You are crying, O Nabi of Allah." Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "If I don't cry, who will cry? That's the rights of this child that I must cry." But the limits are, "Wala naqulu illa ma yarda bihi Rabbuna." I will not question the authority of Allah in what He decided. So in a challenge, in a difficulty, Nabi alayhi salam showed us the rights also, the obligation also. And at the same time, Nabi alayhi salam showed us the limits also. And hence you will find, one of my asatiza, Mufti Raza al-Haq sahab, Damat Barakatuhum, one day in one dars he mentioned, that Nabi alayhi salatu was salam, you will find, look at the status of this woman. And he mentioned the same incident. Umme Sulaim made so much sabr that she did not cry. She held herself and she seen to her husband. And here the Nabi of Allah cried profusely on the janazah of his son. Does it mean the sabr of Umme Sulaim was greater than the sabr of Nabi alayhi salam? This was a question Mufti sahab asked. No. Then he answered and he said, no. Umme Sulaim was one individual and Allah will reward her on her sabr. But Nabi alayhi salam's action has to serve as guidance for humanity. And he's an example for weak people like us also. His action has to transmit concession for the weakest of his ummah. Hence you will find occasions where he did not cry, the likes of Umme Sulaim who revived that. And you will find occasions that he cried also, so that when this weak ummati will cry, he can also console himself and say, my Nabi has also cried. My Nabi has also cried. Come to Nabi alayhi salam. Nabi alayhi salatu was salam said, consoled. And Nabi alayhi salam said, you had relation in that Allah has put barakat. Uyayna ibn Hisan says, I seen that child who passed away that day. And I also seen the child who was conceived that night. He grew up and he became a father of 9 sons. Everyone was an alim of deen. So may Allah Pa give us the correct understanding of deen. Huh? Really we make this. What I'm saying is that in such a challenge, such a situation, but when there was muhabbat, when the vision was correct, there was no counseling taking place here. There's no going for this treatment and that treatment. You know, like I always mention today, it's all terminologies. Before, a child never used to listen, he used to hit him, discipline him. Now he doesn't listen, it's ADD, attention deficit disorder. Now there's some, you know, medical explanation, some scientific research to it. Subhanallah, everything in their life continued in normal, and how this muhabbat, this understanding cemented their relation and it continued. So let us make sincere tawbah to Allah Ta'ala. Cry to Allah in this month of Ramadan. Beg Allah Ta'ala of His forgiveness. And as I mentioned yesterday, let me conclude again by saying also what Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah Ali used to say, that jo zindagi guzarega Ramzan ki tara, maut aayegi uske paas Eid ke chand ki tara. That the one who will live his whole life like how he or she spent Ramadan, how beautiful our Ramadan is. We start with tilawat, we start with zikr, we start with the ita'at of Allah. That is the manner in which our whole life should be governed by that year. We should look at the wives of Nabi alayhi salam to derive guidance for our lives, how they conducted themselves, what was their position. Islam does not discourage. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, whenever he returned from jihad, he never returned suddenly. An explicit mention is there so that that woman beautifies herself for her husband. Again, we need to understand this also in the light of Quran and Hadith, that we do what Islam tells us in the manner that Islam tells us. On the occasion where Allah tells us to adorn ourselves for our husband is more rewarding than nafal ibadat. And where Allah Ta'ala tells us not to do is more severe. In some hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says it's tantamount to zina and fornication to beautify yourself before strange men. So to do it where Allah wants us to do it is an act of nobility. Like someone explained very beautifully with regards to Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, that generally to prostrate to any human is an act of shirk. But not to prostrate to Adam at that time, that was an act of shirk. Why? Because the command of Allah is at that time to prostrate to now to a human. Now Tawheed and the oneness of Allah demands you prostrate to Him. At this time not prostrating was an act of kufr. To fast on the day of Eid is an act of sin. So ibadat in essence is what Allah says, when Allah says, how Allah says. That is why Nabi alayhi salam said, Ma ajjalul fitr. My ummah will continue attracting Allah's mercy as long as they hasten in iftar. Hasten means of course not before sunset, but as soon as sunset. To delay iftar is no act of reward. A lot of times women are negligent in this. We're busy in the kitchen, we're preparing this, something is in the oven, something in the microwave, something on the stove, and we say, all right, well, another 2-3 minutes is no problem. Nabi alayhi salam says, no, no. As soon as you see the sun tipping down on the western horizon, immediately break your fast, as long as you will hasten in breaking your fast, and you will eat right up till the last moment of seri, you will attract Allah's mercy. So you're not showing Allah independence. When Allah said that eat, immediately you say, Allah, I am desperate to eat. And you eat till the moment Allah told you to eat. Allah said, stop eating, you withdraw even if the muscle is close to your mouth. And when Allah said eat, you leave everything and eat. At this time, it's an act of ibadat to eat. Allah, give us the tawfiq, give us the correct vision, make our children the coolness of our eyes. Let us make adequate arrangements to embrace this man. Send our husband folk and our sons, inshallah, out in the path of Allah. May Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq and hidayat, inshallah, to put into practice what our respected man has, alhamdulillah, explained to us in much detail.
Finally now, inshallah, what should we do now? So much of problems, Mawlana has explained, is facing the ummah, you know, and so much of conditions are surrounding the ummah, and the importance that the women folk should become the total supporters of their husbands or their fathers or their sons or their brothers in respect of the deen of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What should we do? So for this, our elders, alhamdulillah, have given us a very, very simple solution. Very simple, where every lady, inshallah, you see, she can become part and parcel of this. But before that, dear mothers and sisters, we should remember that nearly 40 years ago, in South Africa, deen was ridiculed. The Muslims actually ridiculed deen. The ulama ikram were ridiculed. The shariat was ridiculed. Sunnats were looked down upon. Allah's lakh shukr. We must make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us in this country. May Allah ta'ala fill the qabr of Baipaja rahmatullah alayhi. May Allah ta'ala fill the qabr of those ladies of Spingo Beach, who were the first ones to adopt the hijab. And when Baipaja rahmatullah alayhi came, my dear mothers and sisters and brothers in Islam, Allahu Akbar, we found that in a very, very short while, through this effort of da'wat, through this work of tabligh, through this effort of da'wat, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, today, Allah shukr, my dear mothers and sisters, in our darul ulooms, in our madrasas, the girls' madrasas, the hibs class, people from different parts of the world have come to South Africa. Even people from Medina Munawwara, from Makkah Mukarramah have come to study in our country. What is this? It is the barakat of this effort of da'wat. It is the effort of this tabligh work, my dear mothers and sisters. I still remember Baipaja rahmatullah alayhi. He was so strict. One day he came home. The children, little girls, they had short sleeves. What he did? Quietly, he took all those dresses, took a scissor and he cut them all up. The wife said, but we could. He says, no, we want everything to be according to sunnah and shariat in our home. They set an example. Those ladies from Spingo Beach, Biba rahmatullah alayhi, Allah ta'ala fill a qabr with noor. When they adorned the hijab, the people used to tell them, this is the Batman's Jamaat. This is the, funny names they gave them. But that qurbani they made, that qurbani today, alhamdulillah, Allah, lakh shukr, madrasas upon madrasas, young girls, before keep becoming baligh also, they got hijab on. So dear mothers and sisters, our elders are telling us, let us inshallah, this fikr of this work of da'wat, this fikr of this work of tabligh, it is said, a lady who will prepare her husband's bedding, and prepare the husband's bag, and prepare them to go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, said 500 years before that man, she'll be waiting for him in Jannat. 500 years before, she'll be already in Jannat. And the husband who has made so much of qurbani, when Hazrat Asma radiallahu ta'ala anha prepared that food for Nabi alayhi salatu islam at the time of hijrat, was one of the greatest qurbani. She prepared that food and she had two belts. She took out one belt and she wrapped it up and tied it to the camel. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told her, this food and this belt will be before you in Jannat. So dear brothers and sisters, let us encourage our menfolk. And the menfolk also, let's make niyat inshallah. So three things inshallah, very, very short, the dua will take place. Very, very simple, three things. One, every single home, we should recite the hadith, the talim at home. Very simple. Baipaja rahmatullah used to say, that the fitna that is awaiting the fitna that is attacking the ummah today, the only solution for this, it is such a protection, that the protection of your atom bombs, the protection from your radar guided missiles and your laser guided, nothing will be afford those protection, but there is a theft of the daku's of iman are waiting at every corner. The daku of iman is waiting, and for the protection for our iman, talim at home. So every lady, inshallah, we're not going to make big tashkil now. Every lady that is sitting down says, make a determined niyat in our heart that every day, inshallah, without fail, we're going to do talim at home. We're going to say inshallah in your heart. And the brothers also, inshallah, make niyat for this. Secondly, inshallah, the menfolk make niyat to go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the month of Ramadan also, inshallah. Four months, the brothers make niyat. And thirdly, inshallah, the women folk also, they make niyat to also go in the path of Allah for 3 days, inshallah, and to whatever other tashkil is. Allah ta'ala kubul from inshallah.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. Sayyidina wa maulana Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Allahumma ij'al ijtima'ana hadha ijtima'an marhuma. Wa tafarruqana min ba'dihi tafarruqan ma'suma. Wa la taj'al fina wa la minna wa la ma'ana shaqiyan wa la mahruma. Allahumma aslih lana dinana alladhi huwa ismatu amrina. Wa aslih lana dunyana allati fiha ma'ashuna. Wa aslih lana akhiratana allati ilayha ma'aduna. واجعل الحياة زيادة لنا في كل خير واجعل الموت راحة لنا من كل شر. اللهم اهد نساء المسلمين, اللهم اهد نساء المسلمين, اللهم ارزقهن الحياء والعفاف والإيمان. اللهم اهد شباب المسلمين واجعلهم هداة مهتدين لا ضالين ولا مضلين. اللهم هذه نواصينا الخاطئة بين يديك, عبادك سوانا كثير وليس لنا رب سواك, عبادك سوانا كثير وليس لنا رب سواك. اللهم خذ بنواصينا إلى البر والتقوى واجعل الإسلام منتهى رضانا. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم, ونعوذ بك من كل شر ما استعاذك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم أحي الدين كله في العالم كله إلى يوم القيامة. اللهم كما وفقتنا للصلاة والصيام والقيام وفقنا للخروج في سبيلك. اللهم وفق الآمرين بالمعروف والناهين عن المنكر لما تحب وترضى. اللهم وألهمهم رشدهم وقهم شر أنفسهم وشر الشيطان وحبائله يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين, والحمد لله.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.